Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining with us and hope that you had a great week. Hopefully you survived Snowmageddon and hopefully you're back to the warmer days, but the cold is coming again. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Ginger Lacey.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Ken Lacey.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
So as you can tell, we have a full crew today.
And we have our guests, Ken and Ginger Lacey, are here. They are facilitating the Constitutional Live course that is happening right now at the GOP headquarters. Now, we're a 501c3. We do not support a political party or a politician. We deal with issues. And one of the current issues right now is that many Americans are totally ignorant of the Constitution, its history, and what it says. So they're running a course that is open to everyone, regardless of political party. And it's on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock at the GOP headquarters in James City. And I'm going to turn it over to Ken, and he can talk a little bit about the course.
Actually, I'm going to sneak in there for a second. And this course is given all around the country. Is that right, Ken?
Absolutely.
And so that I think you can sign up and get onto it in virtually in Zoom sessions.
If you go to the Patriot Academy website, there are classes starting every week. I mean, nonstop every week. Now, some are in person, some are Zoomed, and not as many are Zoomed and in person like we're doing here in New Bern. But there's no shortage of courses. There's over 30,000 coaches across the United States, and they're really they're giving forth a strong effort to get into the public schools and private schools, certainly during the week of September 17th, which is the birth time of the Constitution, so that they can teach just a 45-minute Constitution class. It's actually a requirement for all federally funded schools to do that, and less than 10% do, and I think it's closer to 5%.
Now, tell us about the course. What's in the course?
So it's not an exhaustive, in-depth course. It's sort of a 30,000-foot view. It's, once again, set up like a 10-week course, 2 hours once a day or 1 day a week. And we first did it back in January of 2024, and we just thought it was amazing. Ginger was not even signed up for it, but she just, because of a crazy snow day in Colorado, she decided to attend one with me, and then she was hooked. And it's just, you didn't get this in school. I mean, who at this table was taught the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, about our founding fathers, the Articles of Confederation?
Virginia.
Did they really? Well,
yes.
That's good.
Somebody asked at one of our clubs that we go to, who gave the speech? Ask for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Yeah.
And I'm the only one in the room that knew the question because he was a Virginian.
Oh, well, that's good.
Richmond. Yeah. Is it Richmond?
No.
Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, no, I'm from Norfolk.
No, that happened at
the
GG.
No, GGC, God Christian.
I'm sorry.
Christian Alliance.
Where was that speech given?
In Virginia at the House of Burgesses.
Oh.
In Richmond.
No, in Williamsburg.
Okay.
What you were asking me.
Williamsburg was the original capital. And it wasn't until it moved to Richmond, that's when Thomas Jefferson was the last governor in Williamsburg, right?
I went to William & Mary in Williamsburg, so.
You know, an interesting thing about, as you talk about learning the Constitution and having a daughter that's a lawyer up in Massachusetts, in law school, they don't teach the Constitution. They teach case law.
Sure.
And that's somebody's opinion upon an opinion upon an opinion. So you're two or three generations away from the Constitution.
Well, I don't know. I know that you started with Patriot Academy a long time ago. I don't know if you remember when Rick Green was in the State House in 1999, and he was already a lawyer. He said, they didn't even teach us the Constitution in law school.
One of the courses you have to take the first year is called constitutional law.
Yeah.
And it's about the Constitution. I don't know what law school they went to, but...
Is that
well,
crazy?
Suffolk Law, they taught case law.
Well, they teach case law, but it has to interpret mm-hmm. parts of the Constitution. That's how you learn the Constitution. Because just because it's, you know, certain language in the Constitution doesn't mean that the courts have construed it to mean what we think it means. Mm-hmm. It means something else entirely. So, yeah, you have to add case law to just the Constitution to figure out how it's working in our society.
Ken, we've interrupted your...
That's all right. That's all right. But the class is just a very high level. It points you in a lot of good directions. And you can get as deep into it as you want. In that first class that we did 2 years ago, there was about 40 people in person. And some of the people in that class had been doing it every other quarter for 10 years.
Wow.
But they were very active in the local government, too, and it helped them. We did the Constitutional Military and Veteran Congress this past August there. So it was 5 days, taught you how to write a bill, run it through committee, argue it in committee, get it approved in committee, taken down onto the House floor. Then you've got to start the whole process over again. They showed you how to get stabbed in the back and put in amendment. It was awesome. It was absolutely amazing. There was a young 23-year-old state West Virginia congressman there who had been through the class. He got elected, and he's like, I need to learn more about what I'm about to do. And he went to the Constitution Congress class with Patriot Academy. We had a state senator from Utah and another state senator from Montana who were going through the class as well. And they're sitting in those seats right now.
I want to make one comment to Bob, and that is, for example, citizenship in the 14th Amendment, whether birthright citizenship is going up the Supreme Court. Well, we have one interpretation. It's never been construed by the Supreme Court. So we don't know if we're going to end up with birthright citizenship.
They've never addressed it, yeah.
So I can read the 14th Amendment and say there's no birthright citizenship. And you can say, yes, there is. And until the Supreme Court gives us case law that says what those words in that amendment mean, We don't know what the Constitution actually says, is my point about why you have to add case law to the Constitution.
Well, and someone, depending on who's seated, will come up with case law, which may or may not actually reflect what the people in those rooms back in the day meant.
Right.
It's just the interpretation that gets logged in, and that's scary to me.
Yeah.
And then you have... Hopefully, the Supreme Court will look at the history.
They
of
always
that
do. They always
and
do.
And why that law? Why did we get that amendment? What was that about? And what were they dealing with?
Well, that's why Scalito was so important to the court, because he was an originalist and he insisted on interpreting the words in the Constitution according to what they meant by the founders. So that's a constitutional position, an originalist. And then there's the people who believe in living constitution, which are Democrats. It means whatever we say it means today.
Mm. And again, the Supreme Court, they render opinions, which really says, okay, legislature, if you want it different, go ahead, write another amendment.
Right.
I think what should come into play when we're talking about birthright citizenship is if the parents are here legally. Then if the parents are here legally, I believe birthright citizenship is correct, because we all at some point had immigrants from other countries, but they came here legally, so we were born here as citizens. I maintain that if you're here illegally or come to the country just to have your child, I think that is going way too far.
Yeah, that's the Trump administration position.
Boy, I'm sorry.
You know, that makes sense. And the other thing, too, getting back to interpreting the Constitution, obviously, I'm sure Ken Ginger, refer to this all the time, the Federalist Papers, were written by the people who were writing the Constitution to give clarification to their thinking so that the words that had to be brief in a Constitution, then you can go back, what were they really considering and thinking about? What was their intent? And I think the Federalist Paper, what you think,
yeah.
Pat, that's
oh,
a
yeah,
good source
exactly.
of information that people can refer back to.
Yeah.
And it's great that you say that, because whenever you listen to Rick Green or Tim or David Barton, they refer to the Federalist Papers a great deal when they're substantiating whatever point they're yeah. trying to discuss yeah. in the Constitution or what have you. And that is...
I just, when you talk about the originalist, and that's one of the views of people on the court, to me, and I know I'm biased, but to me, how could you be on the court and not be an originalist and do your job?
You get no argument here.
The silence is deafening.
The silence is deafening.
I wish that everyone who holds public office or a position of authority was required to take a Constitution course, not necessarily the 10 weeks, but we had a situation we were talking about earlier in, was it Charlotte?
Charlotte, yeah, Mecklenburg County.
Right, right.
And that was
The sheriff, he could not mention the branches of government and didn't know which branch he reported to.
Right. That's sad.
Is there already a state law that requires that this information be taught in the schools? There is. There is a state law that requires to go over these various founding documents. Now, as you mentioned, Ken, that there may be these requirements, but is it being enforced?
Absolutely
that is the
not.
Issue. I mean, we have these things that need to be taught to the kids in school, and we're allowing them, the state boards of education that control the curriculum, they should be enforcing these requirements.
Well, when we first moved back here, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to just say, irony going back to what Mary said about when the people get elected to Congress, they should take a Constitution class. If you look at the Board of Education in Craven County, when they get elected, the first thing they have to do is go to ethics training and school board training that's put on by the state. So to be on a stupid little school board, you've got to go through a training, but not to be a congressman
or
senator.
Well, what's the law, Kim?
The Founding Fathers is you had to have a full semester of the founding documents before graduation. The reason that it got diluted was because at the time the state superintendent, June Atkinson, said, well, you know, they have civics in eighth grade and they have this in ninth grade and they have this in 11th grade. So by the time they finish their high school career, they've had a full semester.
The aggregate would cover the whole thing.
Correct.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. Thanks for listening.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Ken.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. And again, we're coming back. And as you can tell, we're zeroing in on the Constitution. And Ken, you try to take us to somewhere where we'll learn a little bit more.
No, we really appreciate being in here. And so as far as Rick Green and Patriot Academy, they are so aligned with other organizations and what have you. And you were talking about Wall Builders and Tim and David Barton. They're the Wall Builders Museum. I don't know if you all have ever been to it. And his library, he has, second only to the Smithsonian, he has the most founding original documents of anyone out there. And it's amazing when you're watching the class, y'all have witnessed this, where he'll say, well, that was Federalist 77 or whatever. And he'll say, oh, well, by chance, I have the original right here. And it's pretty cool. But they are a wealth of knowledge. And you said something about this is really not a Democrat or a Republican thing. It's not an independent thing. It is, do you want to know the truth about our founding fathers, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence? So I want anyone and everyone to come, because we all need to know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
When did the Patriot Academy start?
So it really started mainly around 2012. It's sort of interesting because Ken Davis, who is the one that we took the class through, he just decided on a whim that he was going to start doing this class. You could order the books from Rick Green directly. And so he just started ordering books from Rick Green, we're talking hundreds of books are getting sold. And Rick's like, who is this guy from Colorado that's ordering all these books? But now Ken Davis is a sitting representative in Colorado Springs. He is helping to nurture the next generation of folks. He's an integral part of Patriot Academy. But it's all about education. We've been sitting on our rear ends for too long, and we've got to stand up and learn, because we need to know and learn and assert the Constitution and our rights.
What would you say? You've taught a number of these classes, correct?
This is our second one officially.
Second.
Third to be part of.
Okay. I'm going to ask you. What would you say the average age of is the people who attend these classes?
I wish it was younger.
I thought you might say that.
Yeah.
It's older people. Right?
Yeah, it's typically older people. Okay. And if that's going to be our age range, then it would be great for those older people to go back to their kids and grandkids and get them involved.
Well, that would certainly help. But
yes.
Herein lies the problem. Is that we have this generation of kids coming up through school now that have no idea of what is the truth on a lot of these issues. For example, I was looking the other day at the issue of free market economy versus socialism, communism, Marxism, okay? Two very different economic approaches to how you can run a country.
Absolutely.
But when they survey the younger people, they were in favor of the socialist systems. And the problem is, no socialist economic system has ever been successful.
That's right.
But they don't know that. So the question becomes, how do we incorporate that information back into the schools to offset the leftist control of the public schools?
Well, they could have taught it in World War II history, that in that century, the communists and the fascists and the socialists killed 100 million people.
Right. That's my point. The point I'm trying to make is we need to come up with a strategy that gets this information to the younger generations at a point where their minds are not made up one way or the other, that they're still open to hearing both sides. And it's going to take, in my opinion, it's going to take some of the Republican-controlled government entities, like you mentioned the Craven School Board, it's controlled by Democrats. They could come up with a curriculum on the topic I mentioned or on the topic of Constitution, and they can, on their own, they could force it into the public schools.
They could.
I mean, they have the authority by state law to determine not all of the curriculum, but they have curriculum control. So those are the people that need to step up and make this happen. So, I mean, that's because it sounds like a great program, but how do we get it to the kids that really need it?
Is there, to go along with what Alan's saying, is there a curriculum through Patriot Academy that would be available to parents that homeschool, something that would be on an intellectual level of the sixth grader versus the adult?
There is certainly education through the site that is to a great degree used by homeschoolers. As far as the curriculum for the public schools, that's a good question. I don't know if there's actually a public school textbook, if you will. I need to find that out. Because right now, what we do is try to encourage the schools themselves and the school boards themselves. And depending on where you are in the country, there's a great deal of traction on that. But then you go elsewhere in the country and there's zero traction whatsoever. So it's to get a little bit of a foothold to get. And it's not the principals and stuff, because I was making phone calls in June and July when we first moved back here from Colorado, because I wanted to make my services available to the schools in September to teach the Constitution. But once again, that's just a 45-minute teaser, if you will. We've got to get it, like you said, into the schools as a real class.
Well, I think we can do it. We've got a conservative, I'd like to think, a conservative school board of seven. If they're not, they should be. And they do have control of the curriculum.
Sure.
And we need to go to them and tell them if we get it to where it could be structured easily for them to incorporate it as a curriculum in the school, I think that's one thing to look at in advance.
Sure.
To say, how does it fit how they do their curriculum, and can that be shaped between now and 2027, 2026, 2027?
And it can be done. Remember the last time they had this issue that was coming out of Duke University that was about that transgenderism?
I know, well.
We got that stopped.
Yeah.
But the point I'm making is they incorporated that right into the schools.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the teachers teaching it. They had the teacher would stand aside. They had people like yourself or other people that would volunteer to teach these subjects, but just make sure it gets done.
Yeah.
Well, we know for a fact that last year the Daughters of the American Revolution tried to get into the Craven County schools to do a program, and they were refused. So
by whom would they refuse?
The school board, I would assume.
But that's not acceptable. Why are we not exercising the authority we have is the point, I think.
And I think they look at policies and they say, well, if we let them do that, then we got to let these people do this.
And that's exactly what it was.
And that has good merit to review and discuss and make sure you don't.
Open the door that you don't want. But at the same time,
I think the approach that was mentioned about the Making Proud Choices, that was a third party doing those classes. It was under their health education.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so this stuff, it can be done.
Well, there's a comeback. There's an argument already enshrined in the system, which says they have to have a course in the Constitution.
Yeah.
Right? So when they say, well, if you let the constitutional people in, you have to let all these out. No, we don't, because we have a policy in place that we need to enforce.
Yeah, it's beyond policy in place. It's state statute.
Okay.
A lot of people
even better.
Ignore.
Exactly. Even better.
That's a huge point right there for, you know, disputing any of the other stuff about, well, you've got to let so-and-so-and-so in.
Yep.
You know, one of the other things that we're not considering here is in the schools. How do you push the schools back to teaching critical thinking? Because they still do so much emotional thinking.
Let the teachers teach. Quit prescribing their curriculum and class models.
It's interesting. In the past 3 or 4 years, Mississippi has gone from being ranked 49th in math, reading, et cetera, to, I believe they're up to the top 20 now. They might be 21 because they have gone back to teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. And Alabama and another state that I forget.
Probably New Mexico.
I forget what the other state was, but another southern state has followed their example. And it goes back to the basics. It goes back to those of us who were in school in the 50s and 60s, what we remember having to memorize 2 and 2 is 4, because it always is, regardless of what Common Core math says. And, you know, having to memorize our times tables and all, how to spell words correctly, things like that.
When I was in New Mexico, we were number 48, and we used to always say, thank God for Alabama and Mississippi. I don't know what they're going to say now.
I thought it was actually Mississippi and Louisiana, because I grew up in Louisiana. I thought we were 49 and 50th of Mississippi.
I think it was Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, who are now all moving in the right direction and probably in the top 25.
Right.
Going from 48.
That's amazing.
That's really good.
They started flunking children that did not read. They started, you know, tutoring kids to help them learn to read. And they started taking education seriously. And they started dealing with truancy.
And this all goes back to where education stems from, where the authority, and when the Department of Public Instruction became national and took education away from the states, that's when things started to fall. So I'm all for dismantling the Department of Education and giving those educational opportunities back to the states.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hear, hear.
And quit giving money for programs that's not good for our local school system.
Does the Patriot Academy, was it an outgrowth of the Tea Party? Because when the Tea Party started, everybody started taking constitutional courses.
No, I really don't think it. Rick Green started it per se as the Tea Party. He just saw a need and just said, you know, I've got to, if not me, who, if not now, when. He was actually a state representative in Texas in 1999 timeframe. Matter of fact, that was, if you remember, was we actually had on the vote across the United States a balanced budget agreement that missed by one vote. And that was in 1999, and Rick Green was in at that time. So that's just a little bit of it.
Wow. Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers, and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. You've got, Ken, you got a little bit more to...
You know, I'd like to just wrap up with this. There's so much more to talk about relative to the Constitution and our founders. But if your listeners can embrace that we are all commanded and we should read the Constitution, study, teach, know, and defend the Constitution so that we can assert the Constitution. So if people, one person can take that away and run with it, that would be worth it.
Yeah, this is what if we were all dedicated to understanding the things that go around us in the world. There's a guy on YouTube, he has a show where he goes out in the public and he asks people common sense questions. Like the other night I saw him ask this girl, what state is Lake Michigan named after? And she said Kentucky.
Which is landlocked.
So, we need another critical thinking class, obviously.
So, could you tell our listeners how to get a hold of you if they're interested in learning more about these classes and the opportunities that Patriot Academy does?
Sure. Do you want to chime in, my dear?
Well, I would give them your information for the Patriot Academy website.
Right. So you can use my email address, which is kenny34837@gmail.com. You can also go straight to the Patriot Academy website. On the Patriot Academy website, you can actually find our class on the Academy website. But I don't want you to lock in to us. There are ones all across the land in almost every community. I just want you to get the information, whether it's with us or with someone else. But if you go to the Patriot Academy website, you can find us on there, and you can sign up for the class. You can go back and look at recordings, and because it's all posted. My wife has gotten it all posted. Or you can register for a class that's starting soon.
Is that patriotacademy.com?
Yes.
And I think it'd be worth mentioning that Ken and I attended a defense course in Texas, and I was so afraid of guns. And we saw a video, and I saw a woman who was much older than me shooting, and I thought, goodness gracious, if that woman can do it, I can.
And Patriot Academy actually has internships for teenagers up to 25 years old, and they learn it all. I guarantee, and these kids, I shouldn't even say kids because they're just amazing, wise, mature adults when they leave this after a year internship. So if you want to sponsor or be part of sponsoring a young person to go to the Patriot Academy in Texas, they've got small houses on the campus and everything else, and they will put them in those. It's not free, but it is an amazing program that will prepare our youth for the next years to come.
That brings to mind when we're talking youth, Turning Point.
Yes.
USA, has there been any thought or attempt to kind of integrate or at least make yourself known to that organization? Because I would think that would be a inroads to youth that can't be probably duplicated any other way.
Oh, well, Rick Green definitely knew Charlie Kirk, and those two organizations know each other very well.
But do you see anything happening to make inroads to get this taught to that group?
Education-wise
or whatever.
I'm pretty confident there is, but I don't, it's not something I'm looking at all the time.
Okay.
But it's
because most of the universities now, colleges, they have Turning Point chapters.
They do.
For example, like East Carolina, just up in Greenville, they have a chapter. And I don't know whether if they had the information that you just shared with us today,
sure,
that they might be able to, you know, organize a class for their students and have this information. So
no,
maybe you've, you know, that would be a good group to reach out to at a local level, you know.
I wholeheartedly agree with that.
I just want to mention that in the past, the CCTA has used the Hillsdale College Constitution 101 and done those classes, and we will do them again in the future. But if someone doesn't necessarily have the means to get to a class, you can go online and take the Hillsdale College courses and learn what you need to know about how our country is supposed to be governed.
You know, I want to add one other thing, and I realize we're going to head off somewhere else. We don't know where we're heading, but today is February 11th. Tomorrow, February 12th, early voting starts here. Folks, one of the constitutional requirements should be you have to get out and vote.
Your duty.
Your duty. It is your republic. It's nobody else's. It's your republic.
And the primary elections are the most important because that's where you choose your candidates. If you don't like the people who are in office or running for office, vote in the primaries to get them out.
Yeah, while we're talking about the candidates, local candidates, I don't know whether any of you listened to the candidate forum that was on Interbank's Media comes out of Greenville. And about a week ago, a little over a week ago, they had a candidate forum for the five candidates running for Congress in District 1. I understand from what I heard today is they're going to have a candidate debate next week, where they're going to have the top three candidates based on the polls that will actually be debating. So maybe when we put this information out, when we finish up the program, we could make some reference back to their website where you can get the candidate forum that was done before, and you can also get the debate that's coming up next week. A lot of information for people.
Excellent.
Separate who they're going to vote for.
We need to clarify a little bit that TV forum. It was the Republican candidates. It did not include the Democrats. It was the Republicans doing that. So that, just to be clear, it was one-sided.
And we're a 501c3 organization, so we don't endorse candidates. Now, we all have our own opinions. We have our own ability to speak as we want. But as an organization, we don't endorse candidates.
And we have sent out questionnaires.
Yes, we've sent out questionnaires. We've received a number of responses back to the candidates, both in Craven and Carteret County and some statewide candidates.
Democrat and Republican.
The answers are posted on the cctaxpayers.com website. If you look across the top line, you can either click on it and to view it online, or you can click on the next link that'll download a PDF of everybody's answers.
Bob, is that the same guide that God and Country Christian Alliance has put out, or is it different?
That's the one that I did for both us and the GCCA. Yes.
Okay, so that's two websites people can go to.
Two websites, yes.
Well, the FCC is taking a closer look at whether or not media gives time to both sides, Democrat and Republican, because they were looking at, I think it's James Tallarico, who's running against ghetto fabulous Crockett in Texas. Because he was on The View, and they didn't have somebody else from the other side. They didn't have a Republican on The View. And so they're taking a look at that. And so, you know, I don't know, have we specifically invited any Democrats to come to this table?
We have invited them in the application
for the questionnaire.
We invited them not only to come here but also to come to our meetings,
and nobody's responded.
I do have some Democrat responses in there. Yes.
No, did they say yes, I'd like to come?
Some of them don't even speak.
Do the radio show.
We've always had an open invitation.
Yeah,
we've tried to. To any Democrat or Republican who wants to come on the show, they just need to contact Bob at cctaxpayers.com, and they are welcome to come.
Yeah, and I haven't gotten any direct responses.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ken.
Do we, and when I say we, I meant all of New Bern or whatever, put out a 501c3 compliant voter guide? Do we do that?
No, the closest thing, again, would be at the cctaxpayers.com website.
And again, I've just asked six generic questions and gotten their responses back, and including the fact that I've gotten some answers back where they didn't answer the six questions but went off on a tangent. Okay, I'll post your tangent.
Right.
Yeah, they're posted exactly as they come back.
Well, there's an organization in Colorado called Truth and Liberty that falls under Karis Bible College, which is the ministry that we actually graduated from. And it has to be, it's got to be yes or no type question in order to fall within the 501c3 compliance, so that you're not swaying someone to a Democrat or a Republican side. But it's very telling.
It's very
effective.
By the way, I'm going to make one quick statement that I know I'm going to make somebody mad, but I don't care. Do not trust the League of Women Voters to give you an honest opinion.
No.
Okay.
No,
yeah,
they
broke that trust a long time ago.
We went to a League of Women's Voters candidate debate when we were living in Massachusetts, and there wasn't even an American flag at the debate, which
Speaking of which, Olympic team members who don't want to represent the U.S., should we make them resign off the Olympic team?
Get your own family T-shirt.
What?
Get your own family T-shirt, not a U.S. T-shirt. Go and represent your family at the Olympics. Don't represent the United States.
That's not who invited them to be on the team.
Or paid their way.
Well, I think it has to happen before they're actually there. So.
No, I think you could kick them off the team. You kick people off the team while they're there.
Well, you know,
you failed the drug test, you're off the team.
We've gone down more than one rabbit hole. So how about Bad Bunny? Any opinions on Bad Bunny?
Didn't watch it.
Well, they had something on that today on the radio that I heard. And normally they keep track of the number of people who are watching the Super Bowl, you know, minute by minute and so on. When he came on at halftime, 12.5 million people switched off that channel. And 12.5 million people. So these people who are paying for those advertisements and so on, they didn't get what they were hoping to get. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them went to the Turning Point alternative with Kid Rock and the other things that he did there. So it was a total disaster for the NFL.
There was an article I read today that there's been some complaints filed with the FCC the language that was used, because it was all in Spanish, and now that translations are coming out, it was lewd and lascivious.
That's a nice way to say it.
And that's what I heard, too.
Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to us and supporting our sponsors. And Alan, you want to take us where?
I just want to talk about the need for abundant and relatively inexpensive electric generating capacity. And this happened back when we were having that storm about a week ago. And we got my wife and I got an email from Tidewater Electric Company. And what they were saying was, due to the demand, we're recommending that you turn your thermostats down, you don't use your dryer. In other words, they were coming in saying, restrict the amount of energy you're using.
Unplug accessories.
Also, that's one thing that Tidewater has done. The other thing they're doing is they have changed their billing process so that energy that is used, I think it's between 4 p.m. and like 8 or 10 p.m., is billed at a higher rate than it is other times of day. This is exactly what California does. This is what California's been doing. We are allowing this to happen right here in this state. The other thing that's going on is that President Trump is supposed to make an announcement tomorrow where he has...
We need to say we're recording this on Wednesday.
Well, okay. Well, it's going to be day tomorrow being Thursday, but you have already... It will already have been announced by the time you hear this show. But anyway, he's going to remove these requirements that came from what they call the climate endangerment rules, which came out of 2009. Now, here's how the Democrats work. There was a bill that was passed by the House of Representatives in 2009 that would seriously restrict the use of coal-fired plants, require wind farms and all this stuff. It was passed by the House. It was turned down and not passed by the Senate because of the Republican opposition. So you would think that would have stopped. But no, all those rules have been incorporated through the Democrat EPAs over the years, and we're at that point. I heard the other day that, for example, Duke Energy, they have not built a electricity generating plant in North Carolina.
A fossil fuel plant, yeah.
Any kind of, even the nuclear. They haven't done any nuclear. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is the other thing they did announce was they are building large battery capacity, one near Charlotte. It's like it'll supply 50,000 homes, this big 8 acres or 10 acres of these lithium batteries. Where do they come from? China, yep. Of course. Mm-hmm. And there they are. And 40% of that cost is paid by us, taxpayer. That's what the Biden administration, like the wind farms and the taxpayers are paying 40% of the cost.
And where does the energy come from to charge those batteries?
Well, I guess it comes from times when they have the capacity. But here's the thing. That 50,000, that battery capacity, which is they wouldn't say exactly how much it costs, but they're estimating somewhere around $20 million, okay, for this battery storage. It'll supply 50,000 homes for 4 hours. At the end of the 4 hours, the batteries are dead, Everything goes, you don't have any car come to your house. And that is not a system that this country can have to survive. So Trump, and like I say, he's probably made the announcement already, he wants to encourage going back to fossil fuels, including coal, because we have the capacity of using coal and have the least amount of toxic waste of any country in the world.
When you look at, you know, the complaint against fossil fuel is the danger to the earth, global warming, et cetera. But then you look at the green energy and the damage that's doing. First of all, you've got little kids in Africa pulling out lithium for lithium batteries.
And cobalt.
And Texas recently filed a lawsuit against a wind turbine recycling company because the company dumped 3,000 turbine blades at two disposal sites. Now, that's against the law. They're supposed to recycle at least 75% of the material that they put into recycling. They're supposed to process it. They're supposed to break it down in some way. And then Europe, Germany has had to go back to other sources of energy because they were almost blacked out for a while there. Spain tried to go green and they went bankrupt. They had to go and add the fossil fuel back. We have the technology to do fossil fuel. Gas is probably the least damaging of all of them, and we sit on a ton of natural gas. This whole green energy thing was a boondoggle.
You know, bringing it closer to home, last week we had the deep freeze in this area, and that's why we got the, you know, please scale back on your usage. And go back a few years ago, Texas darn near died because they had a deep freeze and none of their turbines could, you know, wind turbines could replenish.
Yeah.
That was Texas. It was really, really...
And there's no evidence that rising CO2 is detrimental to the climate. It's all a myth. It's never been proven. But we've been going along with this, and thank God we have somebody, a president now, who's willing to stand up and fight this. But we need to do it at the state level, too. We need to be ensured that Duke Energy, which provides most of the energy for North Carolina, that they are required to expand their capacity, and that should be required by the state government.
How can people who encourage green energy and encourage you to cut back your usage because of the storm support electric cars? Somebody needs to explain that to me.
Are you assuming that liberals do rational thought? I mean, we all know that they can plug their cars in because of coal-fired furnaces. I mean, it's just removed one. And some of the chargers have the diesel engine backup right there. Okay. Now, I got a phone call. Speaking of phone calls or emails, I got a phone call from Piedmont Gas that asked me if I wanted to sign up to pay for a monthly program to manage my emissions from my house to fight climate change. And I said, I don't believe in climate change. Not interested. Goodbye. Click.
Well, I'm not going to argue that the climate is changing. I'm just going to argue that we're not important enough to change it.
If we don't reverse this mindset of green energy, California is experiencing it in a big way right now. I don't know if you know about Amazon. So Amazon in the southern part of California, they have been restricted by the California government. And, you know, they have three shifts. They work 24 hours a day in their plants. And they got restricted and were told to basically reduce their power consumption by over 30%. And they gave them a very small window to do so. Otherwise, they'd be getting penalized hundreds of thousands of dollars per day. Within 11 days, Amazon left. And the California people went from 1 to 2 days waiting for their packages to 12 days.
I want to segue everybody's last comments into the importance of voting, because these are all examples of what can happen with a progressive mindset and how it will affect us as consumers. We need to elect the conservative people who will keep the Trump agenda in place, because if the conservatives don't maintain control, a lot of these things that President Trump has done through executive order will be turned around and stopped immediately. So here again, segue back to vote. People, do your own research, find out who you're voting for, and be able to tell yourself why you're voting for that person.
And not only tell yourself, tell your neighbors too why you're voting for them.
And don't just think that voting in a presidential election is all you need to do. You've got to do state and local elections, because it's arguably just as, if not more important than the presidential election.
And it needs to start with the primaries. That's when we pick the candidate. Otherwise, if you just wait for the general, somebody else has already picked the candidate for you.
That's right.
And there
right.
has been a lot of controversy this year about people changing parties to reflect who the candidate selection is. Democrats going to Republicans and vice versa, changing the affiliation to be an unaffiliated voter because they can vote for whoever they want to in the primary. So you could have an opposing party go as a block to nominate a less desirable person of the other party, to pick a weaker candidate who they think that they can win. So people really need to go to the primaries, really need to look at your ideology and vote for the person that aligns best.
And what that means is doing your homework before Election Day. Doing your homework before Election Day. Because if you show up and you're just looking at the card, and then you're trying to make a decision, you don't know any of the candidates except the top two headliners, you're way behind the eight ball.
I've seen that commercial over and over again where Trump is endorsing Laurie Buckout.
But he's not.
It's running on YouTube.
Okay, because it looks like he says her name, but it doesn't look
no,
like...
No, he says she's a fantastic person.
That was because he nominated her to work in the Department of War.
Yeah, and her own card says... She is trusted by Trump. She's not endorsed by Trump. She is
no,
trusted by
No, the commercial
Trump.
Endorses her. No, have you seen it?
I've heard.
I've seen the commercial over and over again.
I endorse her?
So I'm going to beg to argue with you.
He says I endorse her.
He says, pick Laurie Buckout. She's a wonderful person.
But
that's an endorsement.
It may have been an endorsement when she was running for the state seat last time she was running.
No, when it's running now.
I know. It doesn't... I'm saying it's out of context with the time that the perceived endorsement. She was running against Don Brown Don Davis. So I don't think the endorsement was for this particular election.
Yeah, it's her ad. And in her ad, it incorporates Donald Trump saying, pick her.
Ask Asa Buck.
I think what we found here is perception is everything.
Well, I heard Asa Buck yesterday on the radio, and he made some really good points that I hadn't realized, that she... when she made a candidate presentation, it was all about how close she was to Washington. And he talked about her campaign money that came from one big defense contractor that had never contributed to a Republican before. That means something to me.
So, this is the information that voters need to research and find. Again, we are not endorsing or unendorsing a candidate, but... This is an example of what you need to find out when you do your research.
And just one more thing. I just want to reiterate what I said earlier. There is an app, IBX Media, and it's called Talk of the Town. They're also on Facebook. And you can go on that app, and it's going to be a debate of these candidates next week. So if you're uncertain, you don't know who you're going to vote for, go on that site, and it's a good objective opportunity to learn about the candidates.
Okay. Glenn, one last thing. Minnesota Police.
Oh, it was just interesting with some of our crib notes where the Minnesota police force is active with taking down barriers that were designed to obstruct ICE from getting through to some level, and also to make sure they're arresting the people that are breaking the law. So there's engagement even in Minnesota at the local level now.
Folks, we were out of time. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. Thank you for staying with us.